It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
The following is the second part of the message, A Place Called Hell. Hell is a real place. The Word of God is timeless, and so is hell. Both God's Word and hell will never cease to be. Although I preached this message a while ago, the Word of God presented is still the same. God's Word never changes. Listen now to the second part of the message, A Place Called Hell.
When I was 4 years old, I had a picture of hell. It was something that I cannot remember vividly. I can remember some of it, but I can remember back and think that this must be what hell is somewhat like. After a day of play, I'd gone into my home, and I had laid down on the couch as usual. I was a very active youngster, and I liked to be active, so I laid down and promptly went to sleep. And I want you to know now that it was after a hard day's work, outside playing in the sand and the rocks and the mud and all this, but after I was cleaned up, I went in and I laid down on the couch. I don't know how long I'd been asleep. God's merciful and God's graceful, even to little children who are mean. As I was laying, not that I was mean now, but I was laying there on the couch, and suddenly I was awakened. I didn't know where I was at for a minute. It was dark. I could not see. I could sense there was some heat. I could sense that there was some smoke. And I did not know where I was at. If you've ever been under a pillow, if someone's ever been trying to smother you with a pillow and playing around or whatever, you might have some of the idea of what I felt like that night. As I was there on the couch, I didn't know what was happening. I could hear a lot of noise. I could hear people screaming. I could hear people hollering. And all of a sudden, I heard someone say, "Push! Push! Push!" And I can think there's people in hell tonight trying to push things out of the way to get out of hell. "Push! Push! Let me out of here! Push! Push!" And I found myself pushing on something. I did not know what it was. It was dark. And as I was pushing, I could see light. I could see not daylight, but I could see something as flame. And as I was pushing this up, now remember, I was 4 years old. This made an impression upon my mind that I can remember today. As I was pushing upon that, someone moved it some way. The next thing I knew, I was outside. I had had a reprieve from a fiery death. Our house had filled up with gas down in the bottom, with natural gas. And the gas had filled up the blocks. It was the bottom of the house was blocked, and it had filled up the basement. The old water tank had leaked and got into the blocks. And it finally got to a certain point where it couldn't take any more, and it exploded. And the result was a gas fire. The house was burning up. I was inside. My mother had gotten outside. My brother was over the hill playing someplace. My dad was on his way to church to preach. And he heard the explosion, and he came back. And when he got back, the house was in total flames. And as he stood on the outside, he asked where his boys were at. And my mother said that my brother was over the hill playing, but I was still inside. And my dad started to rush in, and they grabbed him. They said, "You'll get killed running in there." And he stood there for a moment, and he said he prayed. And he asked God, he said, "God, I'll do anything if you give my boy to me. I'll do anything, God." And he said that he looked, and he said he could see somewhat of an opening in the flames. And he ran through the flames, and he came in, and he said, "Push!" He saw what was happening. He said, "Push! Get up! Push!" Now, I don't know how he knew exactly where I was at, but he had asked my mother approximately where I was at the preceding time before the house blew up. And as he came through, he reached down. I don't know how he did it, because the roof had fallen in on the couch. Now, that's how bad the fire had gotten. It got to the roof, and the roof had fallen in. And I was wedged in between the couch, you see. The roof had fallen down, and I was under there. But you see, I see God's protecting hand in that too. Because had the roof not fallen down and protected me, I probably would have gotten burned up. And it probably gave me enough oxygen to last until my dad got there. Don't tell me that God's hand doesn't work. Don't tell me that God doesn't know what's happening. Don't tell me that God didn't know I wouldn't be in this pulpit tonight preaching the Word of God. God knew. God knew what was going to happen. And my dad pulled that off of me and took me outside. And I can remember that. I can remember the flame. I can remember the smoke. I can remember the screaming. And folks, I believe that's what hell's going to be like. Flame, smoke, screaming, hollering. But there's one difference. I got out. There'll be no reprieve for those people who are in hell. Now, I want to tell you just very quickly why Christians should go to hell for 24 hours. Why should Christians go to hell for 24 hours? Now, of course, we know that no Christian will ever go to hell. We know that God does not send His children to hell. But I believe as the people would feel the flames and the torments of hell, if they saw the people in their hopelessness, if they heard the people, their weeping and their wailing and their gnashing of teeth, their groans and moans, their screams for mercy, their pleading for water, their cries of, please send someone to my brothers to save them, to tell them, send someone to my relatives and tell them not to come to this awful place. And I believe if they realized that the people who die unsaved go to such a place forever and ever, they would never be the same. But I believe that Christians would be concerned and burdened for the lost and would work and pray to reach them as never before. I believe that's the reason that people need to go to hell tonight to save people. R.A. Torrey made this statement also. He says, if you really believe the doctrine of the endless, conscious torment of the impenitent, and the doctrine really gets hold of you, you will work as you never worked before for the salvation of the lost. Time and time again, the author has come up with this awful doctrine and tried to find some way of escape from it. But when he has failed, as he always has it last, when he was honest with the Bible and with himself, he has returned to his work and with an increased burden for souls and an intensified determination to spend and be spent for their salvation. We need to meditate upon the practical teaching that there is a hell. Dr. Tom Malone, great man of God, tells this story of how that he was preaching one night, and he used this illustration of how one day a lady said recently, while I was cooking in my kitchen, I had occasion to have on a hot pan of grease. And the hot pan of grease, as I was working around there, the hot pan of grease splashed up on my hands and burned me. And the hot pan of grease suddenly caught on fire. And she says, I reached and I got that hot pan of grease. And as I was running out the door, I slipped and I fell. And as that hot grease splattered on my floor, I was in that hot flame. I was in the grease. I was being burned alive. And she said, through my screams of agony and torment, a man rushed into my house. He took me and he rolled me and he did everything possible to get me out. And finally, he extinguished the flames. And she said, as I sat there in that kitchen waiting for the ambulance, she said, oh, this must be what hell's like. This must be what the eternal torment is like, only it lasts forever and ever. And remember, this woman's in agony and pain at this time. She said, oh, I must tell people about hell. And as the man was sitting there with her, she looked at him, and she said, sir, if you died right now, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? He said, I'd go to hell. She said, oh, get saved. Trust Jesus as your Savior. And she said within a few moments, she led that man to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ after being burned all over her body. And Tom Malone said that we preachers need to get that same knowledge in our hearts. Would to God that more of us would fall and slip and go into a hot floor of grease so that we could understand the terribleness of hell. Dr. John Rice said how profoundly moved a Christian ought to be when he thinks of hell and the millions who go there. It is little wonder that the modern Christians have gotten away from the burden and passion for the salvation of sinners. They have forgotten the Bible teaching on hell. The preachers have explained away the torments of the damned. What a compelling motive we have for prayer, for preaching, for soul winning when we learn that every responsible human being who leaves this world without a definite change in heart immediately lifts his eyes in hell, tormented in flame. May God give us a burden. As Jude 23 says, may God give us a burden for pulling them out of the fire. We need to pull them out, snatch them out of the fire. And I think of old Oliver Green. And every time that I would hear that old fellow on the radio. He'd say, "God, save that soul nearest hell." And you know, I actually had a teacher one time in school. He says, "I've never figured out what Oliver Green's talking about when he says, snatch that soul nearest hell." Well, I know what he's talking about. He had a burden for lost people who were dying and on their way to hell. He had a knowledge that somebody at that instant was dropping into the pits of hell without Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We need to have the burden tonight. Now, why the unsaved should go to hell for 24 hours. We also know that no unsaved person after they go to hell will come out. There is no such thing as a 24-hour stay. I believe that after an unsaved person would go to hell for 24 hours, I believe they would come out so changed, we wouldn't have to beg them to get saved. We wouldn't have to say, "Please, trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I'm just here trying to help you. Get out of my house," and slam the door on you. I believe they would run to the churches. They would come and they'd say, "Oh God, forgive me. I want to serve you from this time on." They would say, "What must I do to be saved?" And we could say, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house." That person, if one person out of every home would go to hell for 24 hours, I believe the home would be different. I believe we would see the conversion of sinners because people would get things right with God. A young girl once said in a gospel meeting, listening to a message, and as she sat there, God touched her heart. The Holy Spirit spoke to her, and through the illumination of that Holy Spirit, she received Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. And as the invitation was being given, a note, she didn't have to get up to come forward to get saved. She got saved right in her seat. And during the invitation, God so burdened her heart for her lost brother that she got up. Now, just been saved, mind you. She got up, and she went home. And she knocked on the door, and no answer. She knocked on the bedroom door, no answer. She opened the door, and her brother was laying there asleep on the bed. She went in, and she said, "Oh, God, he's got to get saved." And she knelt down beside his bed, and she started praying. And as she prayed, her brother roused and turned over, and just as he turned over, their eyes met. He said, "Sis, I'm so glad you came." He said, "I just had this dream." She said, "What was it?" He said, "I dreamed that I died and went to hell." He said, "You wouldn't believe it." And she said, "Well, tell me about it." He said, "I looked around," and he said, "I noticed a big clock. And on the big clock, it had the big numbers, 1, 2, 3, 4, and so on." And he said, "Underneath the clock, there was a big pendulum swinging back and forth." And he said, "I could hear people saying, 'Forever, forever, forever.'" And he said, "I noticed something different." She said, "What was it?" He said, "On the clock, there was no hands. I was in eternity. It was forever." And the story goes how that little girl had the blessed opportunity of leading her big brother to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as they wept together. And as she told him the blessed story of what just saved her, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin, and how that it saves from an eternal hell. May God give both Christians and unsaved a realization of the certainty and reality of hell. May God help each one who is not saved to put their complete trust and make Jesus Christ their own personal Savior. May God help the individual understand that God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the sinner. He died for the ungodly. He died for those who are not saved. And though there is a hell for every sinner outside of Christ, thank God there is a Christ for every sinner outside of hell.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.